Okay, I've been recording us for 20 minutes and we haven't started yet.
Welcome to Geeks Without God with Tim Wick, Nick Glover, and Molly Glover.
We're geeks, we're geeks, we're geeks without God. We're geeks, we're geeks without God. We don't recognize moral authority. We don't accept divine superiority. We're geeks, geeks without God.
This week on Geeks Without God, it is New Year's 2013. We look back at the year 2013 and forward to what we have planned for 2014. I said that just for Molly.
We're geeks, we're geeks, we're geeks without God. We're geeks, we're geeks, we're geeks without God. We're geeks, geeks without God.
Welcome to Geeks Without God. I'm your host, Tim Wick. I'm joined, as always, by my co-host, Molly Glover.
Hello.
And Nick Glover.
Hey.
And this episode is going live on December 31st, 2013.
Happy New Year's Eve. Yeah.
Happy New Year's Eve.
Happy
2014.
That was a noise I made in my mouth. If you say 2014 again, this has been going on for days now, by the way.
Days. All
this
year.
It's been going on all year.
Well, I know, but it's been really picking up lately. The heat's really been on. He's really been just putting that heat on. Yeah,
so yeah, yeah. The heat has been on.
Molly is a 2014 girl.
Get with it. 2014. You didn't say 1,926. You said 1926. No one even said...
Well, that's a lot more syllables than 2,000.
Well, right. So, but it's the exact same way that you're saying the number.
Yeah, but I'm just saying, it's a lazy factor. It was the reason they didn't say 1,900 was like they were lazy.
But, yeah. Yeah, I mean, in the year 1,000, I wish we could find out what they said in the year, in the 1,000.
There might be a record.
The year 1,000 to 1,100. I want to know what they said.
They probably didn't even know what fucking date it was.
Yeah.
They were more worried about whether or not they were going to have enough potatoes.
There was a lot of plague, I think, in those times, yeah. in that particular century. All right. Yeah.
So. It is just about, we are on the eve of 2014,
yes.
So we thought we'd take a little time, look back at 2013, and talk a little bit about what we are excited about in the upcoming year. So, Molly,
yes.
How about a big takeaway from 2013?
Okay, 2013, I will tell you this. So last year, you might remember, I was talking about how 2012 was the year of Molly.
Yeah.
And I was triumphant. I dare say I was a little hubris going on, a little pride.
You were calling it the year of Molly.
That's
pretty serious.
People were throwing that term around.
If last year was the year of Molly, is this the year of your folly?
Kind of, yeah.
See, that was
this was kind of the year of folly. And I don't want, I mean, we had a great year. Nothing bad happened to us,
really.
Not really. There were a series of bad timing things for me. Our ferret Violet died in February, and we had to put her to sleep right before I left for New York Toy Fair for a week. And I left for Toy Fair with a chest cold and came home 4 days later with pneumonia, and was very sick. So that. Yeah. Unfortunately for me, it feels a lot like the year was bad. I was trying to think in the middle, everything was really pretty good, except for then, like just recently when I hurt my back and missed the holiday sale. So for work-wise, it feels like two of the biggest events in the year.
And events that you really enjoy.
That I love, that I live for. I got really fucking sick or hurt and had to miss and feel really guilty because my colleagues were picking up my share of a lot of work. So I think that's why it feels like the year of folly. But that's all right. We had, other than that, Nick and I had a great first year running the pub crawl.
We had a great year at the Renaissance.
We really did. Even better than the first, which I didn't think was possible.
Well, I think that the first year you kind of learn like the ropes and how everything works, and then the second year it's so much easier because you know what to expect to some degree, what the hard parts are. You know how to prepare better.
And the third year, you know even better.
Here's open.
Yeah.
By 29.
Yeah. But other than that, for me personally, I got running like crazy. I did a lot of running this year. I didn't do a lot of races, but I was running more this year. Maybe even though my mileage wasn't as much, I was out there more, and I felt more connected to that part of myself, which is great. I don't know. It's good.
Any like geeky media, TV, movie, something that sticks out?
Yeah.
For you?
Breaking Bad ending, man. That was huge for us. That show.
You guys were totally into Breaking Bad.
We've been into that show since day one. Like, I don't want to be that
guy. You were into Breaking Bad before Breaking Bad was cool.
I don't want to be that guy, but like, we watch those channels a lot. AMC and FX and, you know, and HBO and stuff. Yeah. So we see the previews for the upcoming awesome stuff. And we'd seen previews for that.
We both really like Bryan Cranston.
We both are big fans of Bryan Cranston. And so we decided to watch it and just were hooked right from the start. So it was really fun to watch kind of like the world get into it as it got more and more popular. And then by this year, I mean, this year was the year for it. Everyone was into it. And it was so prevalent that it was a Reddit gifts exchange. It was, I mean, the catchphrase, like, let's cook, bitch. Like,
yeah,
I mean,
science, bitch.
Yeah, like, it was great. That
Was the finale satisfying?
It was amazing. Incredibly. It was perfection.
Especially, without giving anything away, in retrospect, there are some things that were realized or broken down with a fan video or two, with some of the music choices made in the final episode
that Vince Gilligan has confirmed.
It's not just fan theory; it's confirmed fact about how he orchestrated the final episode. That is amazing and beautiful.
You would love the show, Tim.
I know I would. As I've always said, my biggest issue with getting into anything like that is the minute I start watching it, I like won't stop. That's not a good excuse.
Maybe maybe you should find a way to have some time off.
Maybe I should.
Where you could watch a show or something.
Yeah,
maybe I should. Take a break. How's your year been, Tim? How's the last end of your year been?
My year's been up and down, one thing I've been really happy with this year, I've been doing a lot more writing this year.
Yeah, you have.
Jeffrey Brown and I have been writing a lot of music that I've been really happy with.
Sometimes in half an hour.
Yeah.
Right.
We did a couple of hour songwriting challenges and came up with one song we really liked. One then, But that's all right. You're writing a song in an hour.
Yeah.
So I've been happy with that. I've been doing the new show, Big Fun Radio Fun Time, and I've been really happy with my writing there.
Yep.
It's just been, and at the same time, my job, and I don't talk about my job much on the podcast just because, you know, it's a pretty mundane day job. I just work for an Asian delivery food company.
The company is Asian or the food?
Whatever, it doesn't matter. Shut up. Fuck you.
The car.
Oh.
See, this is why my job doesn't.
He delivers the food in a Honda.
Exclusively a Honda.
And anyway, the job used to be a really nice job for me to be able to do some of the other stuff that I do because I could write at work.
Sure.
When the phone wasn't ringing, it was a phone bank job. And there have been a lot of changes to the job, and I've been kind of like, things have not really been working for me that way.
Yeah, you haven't been happy.
I have not been happy. So we're kind of skipping ahead to what are we looking for in 2014. This is going up on the 31st, and on the 2nd, I'm putting in my notice on my job.
Yeah!
So I'm going to be trying to take a year, and I'm going to be trying to make it as a writer.
You can watch Breaking Bad!
I can totally watch Breaking Bad! Because that's what I should do. If I'm trying to make it as a writer, what I should do is, rather than write,
writers
watch...
Ask any writer. That's what they do.
Yeah. you gotta take breaks between furiously jamming on that typewriter.
Yeah.
If you're gonna write, you gotta understand the zeitgeist, man.
Right. Yeah. Last year. Yeah.
You need to know pop culture.
Yeah.
References.
So
awesome.
That's and I'm really scared because it's a really big. Financially, it's not going to be that big of a risk.
Yeah.
But it is. Health insurance is a big concern.
Oh, sure.
Obamacare.
Well, that's actually why I'm doing it.
Yeah. I mean, that'll make it easier.
I'm doing it because the...
Hear that? Obama claims another victim.
Yeah, thanks a lot, Obama.
So, I'm actually...
Thanks for letting Tim follow his dreams, you fucking piece of shit.
fucking president.
Fascist.
So
what geeky stuff did you like this year?
Well, movies were, we were talking a couple episodes ago. Movies have been kind of iffy this year.
Yeah.
I was really into Pacific Rim. I liked Thor.
Yeah,
I liked Thor a lot.
Thor Dark World was really, really good.
Comparing it to the only other hero in Marvel who's got a series of movies would be Iron Man, because Winter Soldier isn't out yet.
Yeah.
So, I mean, like, the second Iron Man movie is, like, the worst of the Iron Man movies by far.
And it's not bad. It's just not great.
I don't know. I'm a big Iron Man fan, and I felt kind of let down by the second movie.
I agree.
Especially, I love the third one so much. But the second Thor movie is way better in comparison, like, to the second Iron Man movie.
It really... You know, and I liked Thor. I didn't think it was great, but I was like, well, what are you going to do with a fucking Thor movie? You know, man?
Thor comics aren't great. I mean, they're good.
Well,
there's times when they're great, but they're not like one of those things that people are like, oh my God, you got to read Thor.
And that's the thing about Thor that I think that they really succeeded with in the movie, and that's that Thor himself typically isn't the most interesting character in his own comic.
Yeah.
It's Cosmic Horseface or Loki or the Asgardians. And so, like, in the comic, like or in the second
Cosmic
movie...
Cosmic Horseface?
Oh, yeah. You don't know. It's...
Okay.
Yeah.
that's my new stripper name, though.
do a Google search for Thor Space Horse.
That's my blacklight stripper name. Cosmic Horseface.
Sarah Jessica Parker cosplay. Cosmic Horseface.
And I would say watching you strip would be really awkward for me.
Awkward for everyone because I'm not good at it. Nick, I've tried one time.
Dance like a stripper, though.
I dance like a stripper, but I can't get my clothes off at the same time.
But the second movie, I feel like they succeed because they realized, you know, Hemsworth is like a handsome guy and whatever, and he can be Thor and throw a hammer around. But Loki was the star of that second movie. That movie didn't get interesting to me until shit went down and Loki was a part of the movie.
But they did some good stuff between Loki and Thor. I mean, I don't feel
The brothers' dynamic was good.
They did a decent job with Thor.
Yes, the dynamic between Loki and Thor is one of my favorites in that part of the Marvel universe because it's this desperate. He wants to be him, and yet he wants to defeat him, and yet he hates him, but he loves him, and it's super complicated, and that's what Marvel's best at, is complicated relationships.
Mortal.
Yeah.
So, geeky movie, I'm good with that. The other geeky thing I really got into a lot this year was tabletop gaming. With the kids at home and at OmegaCon. We played Legendary at OmegaCon, and I picked up that game, and I've been playing it with the kids because I think.
Have you been out to the GC yet? The new one?
No, I have not. I gotta get out to the. Well, you know, I'm gonna have some free time.
You can have some free time with the kids.
Have you played the expansions yet?
I believe the expansions are going to be under the tree this Christmas.
Oh,
so get an inside man.
Yeah. But I did at OmegaCon this fall. I played the Dark Sid. And that, holy fuck, there are some scenarios in there that are really,
really
fucking
tough.
Hard.
Yeah. We have both expansions. We haven't played either of them yet, but
I'll tell you what, the best character in them is Domino.
Oh, yeah. Domino. Ooh, she's luck-based.
Well, yeah, and her card can either be recruitment or attack.
Oh.
Most of her cards can do one or the other, depending on what you need.
That's
which
nice.
Which is fucking awesome.
Versatile.
Yeah, she's super versatile. So
she's a member of X-Force.
So that's been kind of the geeky stuff that's been kind of with me this year and kind of a big deal. So, what about you, Nick?
Man, I don't know. I feel like it's been like an up and down year, like kind of like you said. But like a few geeky moments that really stood out for me were kind of media based. As far as I can remember, you mentioned Pacific Rim. Pacific Rim, we went and saw that for my birthday.
Yeah, that was awesome.
And that's one of my favorite things is just being with friends on my birthday to do something.
Yeah.
I really, really like doing that. And so Pacific Rim, having a lot of people there, going to see the movie at the, you know, the nice seats icon and getting drinks and stuff afterward was a good time. A weird kind of nerdy accomplishment, if you can call it that, for me this year was I just recently got caught up on a show that I watch that I don't know. I don't really have any other friends or anyone that I watch. It's like my own thing. But there's this really long running Japanese animation show called Naruto.
Uh-huh.
And the
you might think it's Naruto, but it's Naruto.
Yeah, Naruto. Naruto.
Naruto.
And so right,
I'm just saying, maybe you're like, is he talking about Naruto?
No.
It's not like the poet. It's
yeah. So the first incarnation of the show is them as kids. The second incarnation of the show, Naruto Shippuden, is him as like a teenager, and like shit gets really serious and really real. And so I watched, just last week, I watched the latest episode, the 342nd episode of Naruto. The show's been running for over...
He started at one.
Wow.
Like, recently.
Well, years ago I watched up until like 40 or 50 and I stopped.
Yeah. Okay,
But I went back and rewatched them this year, and so I 342, 343 comes out tomorrow, every Thursday on Crunchyroll, I think. So... That show has just knocked my socks off and floored me, and it's just my own thing that I don't... Molly watches it in the background sometimes while she plays.
I know who the characters are, and I know a few plot points because I'll pay attention.
Something awesome happened, and I have to tell someone. And,
I'm like, this mask face guy fighting snake face guy. Like,
yeah.
I mean, I say their names, but you know.
Yeah, yeah. that was awesome. Kind of a non-accomplishment, and
we started. You started eating paleo.
Yeah,
that's been a big accomplishment.
Yeah.
We started that right after Fest, really. October or something.
I think this year,
it's been 2 months
between paleo and stuff. Well, I'm going all the way back to the beginning of the year. I think I have lost 30 pounds.
Wow. Yeah.
Essentially, 30 pounds.
Good job, y'all.
And you know, Molly's super supportive and has been there. And
I like you no matter what size you are.
Yeah. Paleo has been fun. We've got a dehydrator, and I've been making crazy amounts of beef jerky and kale chips. Which,
yeah, man.
Beef jerky.
Crazy for kale chips.
I can't get into it. I tried so hard. You'd think I would like kale chips because I like stuff that's weird and I like vegetables so much, but...
It's so good.
No, not for you.
Tim, it's like, okay, you take, like, cashews... And, like, maybe some lemon juice, some soy sauce, some little bit of spices here and there.
Yeah.
If you like nutritional yeast, you can put that in.
I do like nutritional yeast.
It gives it a cheesy taste, right? So you make maybe, like, 60-40 cashew nutritional yeast as your base.
Yeah.
And you add shit to it in the food processor until it gets about the consistency of peanut butter.
Uh-huh.
Hand mix it on an entire bag of kale, spread it out in, like, you want it really
dense. You could
do it
on cookie sheets in an oven.
Yeah, you want it really dense in the dehydrator pan, so it kind of, you get huge chunks of it.
Uh-huh.
And you just dry it out and, like, pull
it takes 2 days to dry out, usually.
Like, 24 hours, close
at
to,
least, yeah.
And so you end up with these, like, sheets of almost, like green cashew Rice Krispie Bar type consistency.
Huh.
Not quite as chewy as Rice
Krispie
Bar.
It's more
crumbly and nutty.
Yeah.
Like kale nut clusters. It's
like a
so
popcorn ball
good.
That's not normally. Yeah, I don't know.
It sounds pretty good to me.
It's good. I just don't like it, if that makes any sense.
I get it.
I can taste it and be like, that's really good, and I don't want to eat anymore.
I get it.
But so, I think the Fest for us was a big point this year.
Other than that, I was trying to think, I mean, really, like, we've just had a really great year of, like, increasing financial stability and savings and just, like...
Boring adult stuff that seems really exciting now that we're...
Yeah, like, we're, adults. You know, we're planning to get another Bengal, so it's, like, budgeting for that eventually, and, which, because they're expensive as shit, so, because they're bred Bengal cats, so, but, you know, things like that, just long-term plans that aren't really, you know...
Yeah, so...
So, any, I guess we were going to talk about any, like, news items that totally...
Shit went down this year.
So, before the show, you guys, we wrote out a bunch of stuff. We all wrote various things down that happened, and as I looked over this list, for some reason, this popped in my head, so I'm going to say it. Okay. Gays are legal, Pope resigns, pot's legal, Mandela died. I can't, like
we didn't start the fire?
Like, NSA, Snowden, Breaking Bad. Like, I was trying to write more verses, but just, like, gays are legal, Pope resigns.
Gays are legal.
Pope resigns, pot is legal.
The first Pope to voluntarily resign since, like,
1294. Yep. And the new pope is, we like the new pope.
He seems, as far as popes go.
Yeah, he seems pretty cool.
He seems pretty fly.
I gotta say, everything I see from him or about him, I'm like, all right.
Yeah. How about the new pope's a pretty picture, but he's...
The problem is that he says this stuff, and then, you know, the Vatican comes out a day later and goes, well, you know, I mean, yeah, he said that, but that's not really what he meant.
Right.
Well, the other problem is that children are still being raped constantly, so there's that, too.
And you know, gays are still being prosecuted and discriminated against. Yep. They're still being murdered in Africa.
Look at what's going on in Russia with their laws about gays. To the point of the Winter Olympics coming up in Russia.
I don't know.
You know, the question is, are openly gay athletes going to get arrested and thrown in jail?
Well, no, our delegation that we're sending the pre-Olympics.
Oh, I know. I read that. Yeah, they're sending Billie Jean King.
Yep.
I forget the name of the American hockey player. But, I mean, Obama, specifically said, I'm sending these people to represent the United States of America.
Yeah.
Which is like, that's fucking ballsy. It's about time.
It is. You know? Because if they arrest them... Then they've got an international incident. And if they don't arrest them, all that does is it shows all of the homosexual people in Russia right now that no. This is gonna, they don't mean it. In that way that
diffusing.
Yeah.
Calling their bluff.
Calling their bluff. I mean, it's still happening obviously to the people. But I think it gives a little bit it weakens the government's position.
They're passing a law to give an exception to release like the Pussy Riot people and stuff like that. I mean, there is pressure on Russia to change, and who knows?
You got to look at what happened here, and I mean, we talked about it being one of the biggest things for us, which I think, and I think from a secular atheist perspective, the idea of same sex marriage. I mean, I can't think of anybody who's an atheist secular person. That wasn't on board for same-sex marriage years before it was cool.
Yes.
Yeah. Because to us, because it's always been a religious objection.
Yeah. Yes.
And
no matter what the insane people who are like, I'm just against marriage in general. Well, that's a nice fantasy.
Okay, yeah, there's that one stupid fucking secular argument. Yeah, but whatever. Yeah. The point is that you know, went from a state last year where... We were really worried that we were going to ban...
Oh, yeah.
We
were going to double fuck you illegal.
We're going to make it constitutionally illegal.
Yeah. And we turned that around and Minnesota...
Used that momentum. Man,
dude, that was amazing.
And
it was so
good.
The best part for me, just the... your tears nourish me, was watching... Because I was like... Seriously, I even said to my boss, I was like, fuck work, I'm watching this. This is history, and I'm watching every fucking second of it, and I don't care. And he was like, cool. But so it was the people that would get up, the legislators that were against it, they would get up in May or whatever, and they'd be like, and they were like, they told us that if we voted no on this amendment, that nothing would change. Well, that's a lie, because now they're trying to change it, and that's not fair. And it's like, yeah,
like, you know what you
suck
did
my dicks. Like,
yeah, it just
they're both gay, by the way, my dicks. So get down there and do the work.
Watching them do that, you know, whiny dance.
What about the bigoted florists, you guys?
Yeah.
Who will protect the bigoted florists?
I love that constant thing. If you make gay marriage legal, the people who are against gay marriage will be labeled bigots. It's like, because you are.
Yeah. Bigots.
Because you are. If you don't like being called a bigot, stop being a bigot. That's easy.
My
it's
other
really
favorite
easy.
Was the, they trotted out this little girl, and she got up there, and she's like maybe 11, and she's precocious and well-spoken and white and cute or whatever, and so she's perfect for the Republicans. She gets up there, and she's like, talking about her parents and blah, blah, blah. And she's like, so I guess the question I have for you legislators is, which parent don't I need, my mom or my dad? You know, and everything.
Yeah.
And my response was, if you ask me, you don't need either of them because they're fucking bigots and you should be raised by reasonable humans.
What we don't need is your logical fallacy. Get out of here, bitch.
Yeah. So that was pretty fucking awesome.
Yeah.
I hope you get a rainbow tattoo. That was one of those moments that you're like, I am so glad I saw this.
Yeah, man. Yeah. I am not going to lie. I cried. And when I got up, and I wasn't in the same office as my coworker, who is gay, and I got up and like I walked down to where his office was, and I just walked over and just like threw my arms around him. We were both crying and stuff. I mean, yeah. It was just went and hugged Jeremy Stomberg, who was on the show last. I mean,
that asshole.
No, he and I were both watching it. We were crying. Like, yeah. I mean, it was a great thing.
It was one of those moments that restores your faith in people.
Government.
Even if there were a shit ton of people that were saying, it doesn't matter.
They're dying out.
Like, you can see them losing. Yeah. You know.
Yep.
Minnesota was we were 12, right?
Yep.
So they're now 16.
Yep. I mean,
there have been
this momentum.
There are a lot of states that it's going to be really hard.
Yep.
But
it was hard for the interracial marriage too.
But you know the Focus on the Family people were touting for the long time how they'd won like 36.
Yeah.
36 of these votes in a row. Yeah. And Minnesota, last fall was the first time they lost. And they lost
combo breaker.
Yeah. And they lost four times.
Yeah, dude.
And they've lost
since.
Every single time since. Yep. It's like, we showed them. Turn, motherfucker.
Yep. Well, then Doma, too.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. Getting overturned.
That's a big fucking deal.
Yes.
And now there's a few states throwing a hissy fit and saying, well, fine. If we're not going to put any state funds towards anyone in the National Guard, if we have to support gay people equally, then no one gets anything. I'm going to take my ball and go home.
Fuck you, state of Oklahoma.
It's and you know what? It's so ridiculous to me because it's only the super conservatives that do that take my ball and go home thing. But speaking of the government shutdown, right? There's never been this cause by I'm going to say Democrats, but that's just because that's what we're forced into a two-party system, whatever. Yeah. It's never been done by the liberals or by the
somebody's gonna
moderate
left.
Republicans.
Somebody's
if it has,
probably correct us, but
no, please show me. I would love to see it. I mean it, liberals and conservatives, because there was a while back there where the Republican and Democrat switched.
Yeah.
There was a while where Republicans were the party of the more liberal people.
Lincoln.
So
that was
don't
that was,
show me when in the 1890s
that was the Civil War, but,
there
know,
was
it does seem that the conservatives tend to be more willing to shut down the government.
Just fucking like. And like it's like they just prove they don't care about people. How can you say, well, we're going to pull all the funding from everyone in the National Guard in our state because we don't want to pay these human beings that just prefer a certain different type of sexual activity?
You can't collect your benefits from a state-run National Guard facility. You have to go to a national run.
So you have to.
But you have to go like 5 hours out of your way to do
it. It's still a dick move, and I don't understand how the people in their court aren't calling them on it.
Well,
these are people in service.
It's gonna happen.
Yeah.
I mean, the Supreme Court stopped short of basically saying, uh-uh.
Yeah.
But I really feel like if the Democrats eventually, you know, the liberals, whatever, take back the House of Representatives at a national level, you know, I feel like when that happens, there's so much momentum in the Democratic Party, and they've seen a benefit from it.
It's true.
Because it is all about votes, which is kind of fucking obnoxious.
2016 is going to be crazy to see.
But if the Democrats take back the House of Representatives, I bet one of the things that happens is nationally they repeal DOMA completely. We'll see.
Yeah.
We'll see.
The excitement of 2016 is that 8-year... like itch, you know, where it's I'm not looking forward to it either. It's gonna be fucking awful and awesome at the same time. And that, like, I mean, I remember my stomach being sick in 2008.
What I hope is, like, now that like the ACA website and MNsure and all that stuff is starting to get figured out and they're making improvements and the deadline's approaching. People have a week to sign up for when we're recording this.
Yeah.
As this airs, you have hours, minutes to sign up for your coverage and pay for it.
Yeah. So go do that.
I hope that it's such a fucking overwhelming success that so clearly can be demonstrated how much money it's saved and how good it is that doesn't get the snafu, the technical problems don't get held against I don't know.
I heard a poll on NPR today, or yesterday, I don't remember, but it said, they took a poll, 70-something% of Americans think that that the reason that their healthcare premiums have gone up is because of the Affordable Care Act. And 60-something percent think that they will lose their insurance because of it. I mean, it's ridiculous. It's the kind of thing
when you're... The disinformation campaign has been extremely effective.
It's people and it's not even... The poll wasn't even like, is this happening to you? It was, do you think it will happen?
And yeah, people hypothetical. Were
like, hypothetically, do you think your premiums will go up? Oh, I'm positive they will. 70-something percent is... Jesus Christ.
The people who have had their shit canceled, it's an apples-oranges comparison because they didn't have real health insurance. They had bullshit, but...
Even so, they're just using... It's a strong man.
And, you know, I'm talking about quitting my job and the Affordable Care Act will probably make it possible for me to have healthcare.
Suck off the tea to the government.
Yeah, we're going to subsidize your healthcare, Tim.
And even if I'm not getting that... Even if my healthcare isn't that subsidized, it's probably going to be no much... Given it's not going to be much more expensive than what I have through work right now, and it'll probably be better coverage because the coverage.
Oh, can we be on Tim's death panel?
See, this is what I'm. This is my point. Remember when all anyone could talk about was death panels and how it was going to be death panels and all that? Yeah. That was the buzzword because of these fucking news 24-hour news. I'm using very sarcastic quotes here. Channels, you get these not even talking points, these
sound bites
that are just repeated over. And The Daily Show's really good at showing it and being like, we're going to show you how many times they said this, like, that they even admit isn't true. They're just saying, could it be true?
Yeah, and we're just asking questions.
And so that's the kind of thing that maybe this would be a good time to talk about things we wish for. Well, I wish for that to go away.
You know, speaking of the news cycle and all that, Fox News called New Pope a Marxist.
God.
Which is the most ridiculous thing.
Oh my God.
Yeah, yeah.
I don't even know how to start.
Yeah, I just want to say that. That's all.
So if you're out there listening, maybe you I don't know. No one who listens to this show thinks Fox News is worthwhile. If you know someone who does, please ask them what they think about the comment, the Pope is a Marxist. Because I would love to know.
Yeah, and here's my thing. I think even if you're a conservative, I think you ought to hate Fox News.
Yes, right? I agree.
Because I think that Fox News doesn't benefit conservatives.
No.
Fox News doesn't benefit anybody.
Yeah, because it's not news. No. Because their view is so slanted.
Yeah.
And because they aren't working from a factual perspective.
Everyone's biased, Tim. They're just biased in the other direction as everyone else.
Honestly, MSNBC and CNN are just as bad these days with the misinformation and the soundbite shit. I mean, it's really fucking pathetic that the best news coverage you can get in this country is on a comedy cable channel.
Well, I don't know, man. I listen to NPR.
That's radio.
Every day, I listen to BBC News.
Television news.
And for websites, I hit up Al Jazeera. They're...
So television news, is there a better news?
So now you're saying you're a terrorist.
Yeah, that's what I'm saying.
Yeah.
There is good news out there, but the thing is that, you know, Fox News isn't it. And that's the problem. It's like, if you were a conservative, you should resent the existence of Fox News.
Yes.
I really feel that. And then maybe a conservative is going to come to me and say that that's not really true. But I think that...
As a liberal, I am not in favor of a lot of HuffPo stuff.
Oh, yeah.
As a liberal,
if I'm, I write my shit that pissed me off blog, and obviously I'm a liberal, and I'm going to be pissed off about stuff that pisses off liberals, but I typically, if I get something from a liberal source, you know, HuffPost or Right Wing Watch or anything like that, I'll try and click through to the article that it came from.
Of course.
And read that article and base my response on that article rather than the liberal spin.
That's called research.
Yeah.
Because there are a lot of times I'll read one of those articles and I'll go, holy fuck, motherfuckers, and I'll click through and I'll go, oh, you know what? This is a tiny little part of a much bigger picture.
Or you read the headline.
And the bigger picture is not as bad as this makes it sound.
Oh, yeah.
There's you both identify as liberal. I would describe myself as liberal, but I usually say moderate because there's a few, like, you know, like how every side has their like big sticking points, like pro-life or gun control or you know, whatever. And so I I believe things that both sides like super adamantly hate and disagree with.
Gun control is one that people always assume I'm
And so I you know, super left would say I'm a fucking Rush Limbaugh, and super right would say I'm, you know,
Rachel Maddow's lover.
Right, exactly.
Rachel Maddow's girl lover.
Yeah, I don't know. Whatever, I'm in the middle there somewhere.
I was going to say, before we go to things,
I'm going to say, you know, I think all, my thing is, yes, I'm liberal, but I do think that all perspectives, with a few exceptions like same-sex marriage, have some nuance. Well,
oh, yeah.
Whereas, you know, I believe that some reasonable amount of gun control is a good idea, but I also don't think that
I think people have a right to have guns.
I don't think
some people do.
You know, the problem is the black and white of it.
Yes.
Right.
And I have a real issue with that.
Zealotry.
You know what? Yeah. You know what? That's just a really good summation of a big problem with 2013 is that it was just became diametric opposition.
That's what the government shutdown was about.
It's been a very us versus them kind of year. You're with us or you're against us.
Sure.
Which is a logical fallacy. You're with us or you're against us.
But you and Tim and I all were just saying that a second ago about gay marriage. You're with us or against us.
But that is the one...
Is it different for civil rights?
Yes.
Okay.
Yes. That is why I think that's the one place it's different is civil rights. Because there is no nuance in civil rights because we're all people. And we all deserve the same that.
Yeah, I agree.
Yeah,
I tend to agree with that, even though I totally understand that that can sound kind of hypocritical.
That's why I'm always willing to debate things with people. But that's the one thing I won't.
Yeah.
You know, because
there's a few things you won't debate people on.
Well, that's just because they don't want to debate me on it because they're going to lose.
Right.
And cry.
Anti-vax, pro-life.
Anti-vax, pro-life.
And civil rights.
Yeah, I mean, there is other stuff that I do feel really strongly about, and I recognize the nuance of it, and I recognize that taking a completely black and white perspective probably isn't going to help educate somebody who disagrees with me in a way that might get them more to my side.
Sure.
But at the same time, anyway.
I just want to say one thing that I did want to talk about about 2013 that mattered a lot to me was the Boston Marathon bombing. And it mattered a lot to me because of running and because it was the... I mean, when I heard... what had happened, it's one of the few times, news events don't usually make me cry. Yeah. Like, even, like, 9/11 and stuff like that, I mean, they don't make me cry, because it's just kind of like, oh my God, I mean, you can't, it's not personal.
Right.
But that, like, that made me cry. Because the thought of, I know how much training goes into that shit, and your heart and your soul, and, like, you don't sleep for the nights before, and you're so excited and happy, and then to lose your legs...
Yeah.
To lose your... I mean, just...
Because that's your whole life.
It's your whole life.
Tim, that'd be like for you if someone bombed a dildo factory.
Exactly.
Yeah.
Your whole life is just gone.
It's just gone.
It's so personal for you.
What are you going to put up your butt now?
I don't know. I wouldn't know.
What would you do with
yourself?
Thanks,
Nick. This is why I married him, because when I get real serious, he turns the heat on.
He makes a dildo joke.
He brings the heat right back on.
So this year, it's fairly recent, but... Molly's brother, Riley, introduced us to this, like, cartoon that started as a YouTube parody.
Yeah.
Called Doc and Marty, M-H-A-R-T-I.
Uh-huh.
And it's very, very...
obviously...
a parody of Marty McFly and Doc.
Oh.
And filthy.
Like, suck them off.
Like...
clear penis like, drawn.
All right, Marty, in order to... you're gonna disappear. We gotta get back in time, but the only way I can get back time is for you to suck on my balls.
It's like, what? I don't think that's a good idea, Doc.
Get to suck. Go.
All right, if that's the only way.
And so, this show, this stupid little YouTube poorly animated cartoon that it, you know, parody, has been picked up, executively produced by Dan Harmon. The guy responsible for all the good seasons of Community, which is the, you know, one of the nerdiest shows on Earth, and they changed the name to Rick and Marty.
Morty, right?
And now it's about this kid, this kind of nervous kid, and his eccentric mad scientist uncle,
Grandpa.
Who is a horrible alcoholic and abuser of the laws of nature. And who is constantly kind of hijacking this kid and taking him on irresponsible science adventures.
Looking forward to that in this coming year.
Yeah, well, the first few episodes we've seen so far are amazing. I'm really looking forward to more of that show.
For sure.
And fucking speaking of Dan Harmon, 2014, Community starts back up with him as the executive producer.
That's gonna be good. Yay!
So this gets us into looking. What are you looking forward to? In 2014?
And we know, and we already know Tim's really looking forward to quitting his job.
I'm really looking forward to quitting my job. I can't wait.
I'm happy for you.
I gotta say, you know, I gotta say that to tie back into atheism a little bit, you know, part of the reason that I made this decision is because, as an atheist, I look at my life and go, "This is all I get. This is my one shot."
Yeah.
And do I want to spend more of my life doing this thing
in this chair?
Sure.
Or do I want to? You know, do I want to? When I look back at my life in 20 years and go, "Did what I did for the last 20 years really make a difference to me?"
Did it matter?
Did it matter? And you know, you can do a mundane job and have it matter.
Yeah, you can.
You know, absolutely. And I don't want
to. You can even be happy, and it doesn't matter. Some people don't need their jobs to matter, and they do other things, and they have time, and they're fine.
But there's stuff that I want to accomplish that I can't accomplish in this job, and do I want to just piss away the amount of time that I've got going, well, some year I'll get to it.
Exactly.
Or do I want to get to it?
You got to it.
I'm really excited that I'm going to get to it.
And, I'm really excited to see the new Tim.
I'm going to say to the listeners out there, if you have any writing that you need done, comedy writing, petsnakereggie@gmail.com.
Especially if you have lots of money to pay for that writing.
Yeah, that's the best.
Non-free writing.
Yeah, I am looking forward to something literally tomorrow. Well, when you hear this, it'll be tomorrow. I am going to, I'm running the Polar Dash. January 1st. I thought about signing up for the 14 mile, and I'm glad I didn't because I hurt my back. So I was, but this is that. I signed up like right before I hurt my back, like 2 days before, and then hurt my back. So I signed up for the 10K only because I can do 6.4 miles.
Sleeping.
No problem. Yeah. So I'm really excited for it because what I'm doing new this year, because I tried, I'm all about self-improvement, constant self-improvement, because, you know, got to evolve and change and grow as a human being. And since we're not having kids, I can, you know, pour time and money into those sorts of things.
Yeah.
And,
yeah.
I am running in the winter this year, which I've never done my whole life.
Yeah. I've
been running 25 years and I never ran in the winter. Kind of because I'm a pussy about it, and kind of because when I was in high school, I needed the winter off to rest my knees, and then when I was an adult, I was a pussy about it. So I've been out there running, and I'm really excited to get back to it, and I'm very excited for this race, and it's going to be, I'm gonna keep going all winter, and I'm really excited. It's going to be really fun, and also, like, starting off the new year, like I do kind of, not superstitious, but I do kind of have that, like, the thing you do on the first day of the new year.
Yeah.
It kind of sets the tone, and you want to do something that, like, marks the occasion, and it's it's really the only global secular holiday. It's the only global holiday at all.
Yeah.
Really. It's the only holiday that every single person on Earth celebrates.
Well, Jesus is everywhere, and Christmas is his birthday.
Yes. But it's the only holiday that every single person on Earth celebrates.
Maybe not on January 1st, but...
New Year's Day?
Aha! This is what I said, too.
No, because everyone uses the Gregorian Western calendar now. No, there's no country that uses their own... Maybe Israel is... I don't... Even
the Chinese
then, still,
New Year is on a different day.
This is exactly what I said, too.
But they're still aware of this one, and they still celebrate this one.
Okay.
It's the only global holiday. All right.
Tim, it makes me so happy.
No, they don't not celebrate January 1st in China because they have another... That's why it's Chinese New Year and not New Year. They just call it... Even they call it...
That's an awfully Western-centric view for you to have, Molly. How do you... The Chinese don't refer to the Chinese New Year Chinese New Year.
Kind
it's
of,
just
they
the
do.
New Year.
I don't know. You know what? I'm going to ask my friend Ming. Seriously, though, the idea of running a race is the very first thing I do, like, early in the morning on that day, setting the tone, achieving goals, getting a medal, eating a banana, and then getting to my car and driving home. Playing a lot of Assassin's Creed.
So, I hope that really works out for you.
It's going to be great.
Yeah. So, in my first day of the year, I'm going to quit my job. It's technically going to be the second day.
And my first day of my job, I'm going to go to my first day of the year, I'm going to go to my job I hate now. So
yeah, but then you're going to come, and we're going to record Geeks Without God.
That's true.
Which is a thing you like.
It's going to be good. It's going to be a happy time.
I do have some stuff I'm looking forward to in 2014. There are, like this year, there are a shitload of good movies coming out next year.
There are.
There's, Tim, have you seen the trailer for the Lego Movie?
Yes.
Fuck, that looks good.
Yeah.
The trailer today for Dawn of the Planet of the Apes went up. That looks fucking incredible.
Rise was good.
Marvel movies, there's going to be Guardians of the Galaxy, Captain America, Winter Soldier.
I gotta say, I haven't seen too many of the trailers, but the Winter Soldier trailer.
Yeah.
Do
you know who the Winter Soldier is?
No.
Then don't tell
me. Okay, awesome.
I won't see a trailer for the... I won't watch trailers for those kinds of things on the computer. I wait until I'm at a movie where they show it.
Right.
I don't want to see it. It's shitty, so I like to wait. There's, so I haven't seen it.
The last Hobbit movie. The second to last Hunger Games movie.
Yes.
22 Jump Street.
What? That's awesome.
Yeah.
21 Jump Street was so good.
The trailer for 22 looks so funny. They're college. I don't care what anyone says. I'm excited to see the fucking RoboCop remake.
I am too.
With the dude from The Killing playing RoboCop. He's an awesome actor. Sin City, A Dame to Kill For.
About fucking time.
Yes.
Because I fucking love Sin City.
Yeah, man.
The Veronica Mars Kickstarted movie comes out this year.
Yeah, baby.
There is a shitload of good stuff coming out this year. Assassin's Creed 5 was announced for 2014.
What?
The setting has been... not confirmed in any way, but the two really big rumors are both huge departures from the rest of the series.
What?
The rumors for setting and time period so far are ancient Egypt.
What?
You should see Molly's face. Oh my god, she's so excited.
And around the same time as Ezio, so like Renaissance bordering on Baroque, China.
Ooh. Ancient Egypt. I want to climb pyramids.
But see, that's the thing, though. If they do ancient Egypt, that predates the term assassin.
But there's the... Ooh.
It predates the term assassin, the Hashashin.
Yeah.
So...
People were still killing each other in that way.
Well, I mean, there are the descendants of the followers of the first civilization or whatever. Yeah. So, yeah, there's good
shit coming
up. A lot
of cool shit on the horizon in 2014.
For sure.
I'm looking forward to going back to Toy Fair and taking it by storm again.
And
this time
pneumonia.
I will not have pneumonia. Oh,
yeah.
God damn it. Now I said it and
that's
I will.
That's February.
I will not have pneumonia. Yeah, that's February. I'm really excited, obviously, to go back to Fest.
Yeah.
I'm excited for the possible crop of amateurs for Vilification Tennis this year.
I got a pretty good list, yeah.
The list is, there's some people on there that I would love to have on cast.
Today, the day this episode airs, is the last day to tell Tim you're interested in being...
still time to send an email.
In auditioning for Vil.
By midnight tonight.
@gmail.com.
Yeah.
You know, I'm excited for another year of Geeks Without God.
I am too. Our second anniversary will be Convergence this year, which Convergence is always fun.
Yeah, Convergence is always.
Omega Cons.
We got hotel rooms for Convergence.
Yeah, we did.
Sweet.
Because we were Uber volunteers, so we got that awesome lockdown. That's nice to know.
Oh, you guys, someone made a recommendation, I don't know if you saw it on our Facebook page, for a religious game to play for OmegaCon.
I did.
It's the game that is how they elect the Pope.
Yeah. We should try that.
It's the Pope election board game.
And
I guess it's like a politicking
game.
That
sounds
like
really fun.
It's actually got some game mechanic unlike every other game.
Board game.
Oh,
holy
my God.
Shit.
I know. Our listeners would never have seen this, but you two would have seen. Did you see the slew of comments someone tried to leave asking, which is stronger, Percocet or Vicodin?
We did
how much Ativan cost? Was another one of them.
Yeah, we had a lot of spam
recently.
Wow,
it was all medication-related.
Our filter prevents people from seeing that.
Did
but
you tag any of the posts where I was on pills with Percocet?
No,
that was the only thing I could think of was that maybe you funnily tagged them as Percocet.
Well,
I should have.
I can tell you from looking at the IP addresses, they're all Asian IPs. They're all probably from China.
Where they celebrate Chinese New Year.
Asian IPs just made me laugh. I don't know why.
So,
we have Aaron, they have Ape, or whatever it is.
Another thing I'm excited about is I think in May we're going to go to Yellowstone National Park.
Fun.
Which is super fucking awesome.
Yeah.
I've never been to Yellowstone.
You've never been?
No.
Really?
I've been to Yosemite.
Ah, I'm like, there's a fucking sticker on
that
your
says computer. Yosemite.
Hopefully the super volcano doesn't erupt and
yeah,
kill you all while you're there.
Yeah, have you been seeing those things on Facebook? Oh,
if
my
you
God.
Are there for the super volcano, that would be like the dream. That's the dream.
Because you're going to die anyway.
You're
going to
die anyway.
Yeah, yeah.
Wouldn't you want to be there? I mean, if you're going to be in, was it Peloponnesia?
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. You want to be the guy frozen, like
you
running.
Mean, Pompeii.
Pompeii.
Yeah,
thank
yeah.
you.
Yeah. So I'm excited
She's
about
lying.
That.
I know.
God, there's a lot of stuff.
I feel like I'm excited. You know, I mean, like you said, because we're atheists and we know this is all we got, I'm always excited for another year.
And sure.
I don't like New Year's Eve because I don't want to say I don't like it.
It's
I do.
The
I just don't party.
Yeah,
I like New Year's Eve because I really like staying up. I like the global excitement. I like the counting down. Well, I like the, like,
and,
yeah.
You know, who the fuck isn't excited for the future?
Yeah, man. Like,
the
well,
future's where all the awesome shit is.
I can think of a couple people, but that
hipsters?
Well, yeah. People with terminal ennui and personality disorders.
Yeah, fucking killjoys.
I'm excited because New Year's Eve tonight, first time I've ever done a show on New Year's Eve. The Dregs and I are doing a show tonight. I'm very jazzed.
That's
is that
gonna be
the
fun.
Parkway?
You
yeah,
guys, if you're listening and it's at 8, is it 8 p.m.?
Yeah, we start at 8.
You should go down.
To the door?
Ticket to the door,
only $10.
Yeah, go so to the Parkway. Good. The Parkway Theater is a great place to see the Dregs and Four Pints Shy perform. We saw them for the Two Bands, One Show. It was phenomenal. We had the best time.
They had a margarita bar in the theater.
Yeah.
There's Mexican food that you can bring in next door. With
Pepitas
like
takes great care of you guys.
If you get there super early, you can claim some couch space.
Yeah.
Which is,
I cannot recommend it enough. You guys should go to the show. They're both great bands. If you haven't heard them, you really need to go hear them.
Especially Four Pints Shy, you guys. They are talented.
They are going to be the second best band on the stage.
Their drummer
really
knows how to play.
Is there going
to
be a third band on the stage?
Suck my dick. All right.
Awesome.
You know, I think that's about the place to end it. So
that's about where I usually end it.
Oh, snap. So, Happy New Year.
Happy New Year, Tim.
Happy New Year. We will talk to you again in 2014.
Yeah.
2014.
Fuck you.
Also coming up in 2014, Geeks Without God on Ice.
We're geeks, we're geeks, we're geeks without God. God. We don't recognize moral authority. We don't accept divine superiority. We're geeks, geeks without God.
Until next time, you can find us blogging at geekswithoutgod.com. You can follow us on Twitter at geekswithoutgod, and you can even like us on Facebook.
We're geeks, we're geeks, we're geeks without God. We're geeks, we're geeks without God. We're geeks, geeks without God.
Also, thank you for helping me that time, and I love you.